Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Are you ready?
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets, the Amp Studios in Danville, California. And of course, as we started from the bottom, now we're here. Proteus started from the bottom, now we're the whole effing team's here. Well, kind of, at least a good portion of it, right? Protos from the mean, icy streets of Brantford, Ontario. We're coming at you live and unedited from UFC 280. Team, the card that was damn good card. Holloway versus Aldo, then of course the Tough 26 finale, and of course we will glance over Bellator 189, Julia Budd defeating Arlene Blankow via split decision. Just quickly to go off of that card, Rafael Lovato Jr. defeats Chris Honeycutt via decision. This was a decision card. Chidi and Jonathan, I always ruin his name.
TJ,
you got it.
TJ, who's your mama?
No.
In Jocowini, in Jocko, I ruined that last thing. Forgive me. You know what? Insert TJ, who's your mama there? Yeah. Hisaki Kato, of course, he defeats him. David Rickles defeats Adam Piccolotti. So that was a pretty darn good card. Going into the Tough 26 event, which I actually liked. I know you weren't not a big fan of it. Nico Montano, as I called it, defeats Sarge Sajara. I mean, Roxanne Modafferi, who came out of nowhere, right, to fit in, of course, weight cutting, the bane of your existence there, Proteus. Sean O'Malley defeats Terrion Ware. Good fight. Lauren Murphy defeats, Barb Murphy. My name's Lauren. Defeats Barb Honchak via split decision. That was a pretty good card. Nothing really too exciting there. Our girl, Rachel Ostovich, Proteus, first round submission. She submits Karine Kevorkian, who I guess couldn't even make weight. So, you know what? I guess when you're on your monthly visit, it's kind of tough. Allegedly, that's what happened. Sure, I'm just quoting. So, let's get into it, Proteus. UFC, I always skip. You know what? I just skipped to UFC Swanson Ortega. I think I'm already excited, Proteus. I'm going and jumping ahead, but we will not do that. Hit it!
Good morning, DJ Tony, coming at you from the frozen tundra, as you mentioned, of Brantford, Ontario. No, it's actually pretty nice today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Prado. It seemed like the pacing of 218 was pretty good. Let's get into it right away. And we'll spotlight a couple fights just because there were so many fights, actually, in the last 3 days, 2 days, that we can spotlight. But let's get into it. Max Holloway, Proteus, no doubt about it. Defeat, of course, Jose Aldo via TKO in the third with 4 minutes and 51 seconds into it. Kind of, I think we all called it, right? I could be wrong here, but I think we all called it, and I'm tweeting out the link. But I think we all called this one, Proteus. I'm gonna throw to you. What say you?
I'm sorry, mate. I was trying to text back and forth between you and Josh and Tilsonberg. Sorry, ask the question again, please.
Sure. So I think Aldo versus Holloway panned out the way I think we all thought it would. Some of us claiming second round, some of us claiming third. I, of course, claimed the third. Did you see it going any other way? Because I certainly didn't.
No, I did not. I saw it going basically as a carbon copy of the first Holloway-Aldo fight, which
it pretty much did go exactly the same way. You know, Holloway coming out strong in the first and really making Aldo move. And it wasn't surprising to me, but it was excellent fight. If you want to talk about it right now, are we starting from the top, working our way to the bottom?
Absolutely. That's what she said.
Okay. I thought a really impressive performance, though, by Holloway. Came out looking mean. I believe we saw a Stockton slap somewhere in the first round there, which I thought was impressive.
Did we?
Yeah, there was one that was, I think it was pretty early in the first or maybe closer to the middle of the first round, where Holloway threw one open-handed shot to Aldo's right eye. And, of course, that eye was the particular focus of Max Holloway during this fight in the first and second round. But as I was mentioning, Tony, great movement by Holloway in the first round. Second round, we saw that he was wearing all of that hard movement and head movement and moving around the cage. Because in the second round, he seemed a little bit lackluster. He seemed like Jose was kind of being able to get to him, especially with those big leg kicks, which we did see come out more in the second round, which I think woke Holloway up and he got back on his bike and started to move around a lot more. And by the third, Tony, by the third round, you know, watching Max Holloway press Jose Aldo up against the cage for, I don't know, maybe 2-3 minutes of that round. And then to get that incredible finish was amazing. As I mentioned, Aldo breathing out of his nose in the first round already, props to Aldo for staying in there, but just the superior boxing game of Max Holloway staying behind that jab and moving really impressed me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think we're seeing in what we saw here, and I think many of us did, but what we saw here is effectively two different eras, right? One era leaving, one era coming in. It's sad when you see all the great ones that just don't have it any longer. Aldo, of course, famously always having trouble making 145. And again, we went through this on Smack My Picks up. I don't think he can make 155 with his size, right? I mean, he's a small man. He's not a big man, his stature, and it seems like the 155ers are really large. But it's certainly sad. I think we saw what we saw because it's a new era and a damn good era at that. I think, here's where we jinx stuff, Proteus. I think Max Holloway is going to be champ for quite some time.
Well, I mean, that's not a bold statement. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, if he continues to improve and impress the way he is now, and he's able to change his game and improve his game, because if he stays the same, as we've seen with many other champs, maybe like we've seen with Aldo, if you stay the same and you don't improve, well, you're champ. People start to figure you out. And I can see Holloway, staying on the top, like you said, for a while. And again, I think it's time they get this pay-per-view or this event in Hawaii done for him. Because, I mean, he's a big star right now. You can tell.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Certainly his ties may be not as large of stars as they should be. His ties are really strange. But,
yes.
It'll be interesting. I don't think they're ever going to have, and right when I say this, guess what? Dana's probably working on something in the back end. But I don't think they're ever going to have a UFC event there's time differences, and don't forget this as well, Proteus, that it's really expensive to do that there with a very small demographic and maybe not a very large gate as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's get into the bonus awards, Proteus. Fight of the night, of course, going to Alvarez and Gaethje and Yancy Medeiros and Alex Oliveira. That was one hell of a fight there. Performance of the night, none. And I think those could have been handed out as well, because that fight, good Lord, was incredible. Let's get into this. To the heavyweight we go, Prados. Francis the Predator Ngannou does what everyone thought it was going to happen. First round KO, I called the second round. Boy, he didn't want to waste time. It was time. I think he did the old Vulcan Ozdemir on that one, Proteus. Looked at his watch and said, no time. Got to get out of here. Defeats Alistair Overeem in one of the most brutal uppercuts that I've seen in recent history. What say you?
Yeah, the past couple of weekends have been really good for snap pictures of knockouts, but with the Michael Bisping knockout last week, and of course now this one being even more impressive. Yes, Tony, you are correct. Ngannou is a scary, scary dude. And as I mentioned on Wednesday, Smack My Picks Up edition of this show, you know, Alistair Overeem had one chance. He needed to stay away, use his kickboxing, and Ngannou did not even let him, you know, get started. You know, it was like almost as if Overeem decided that he was going to put his face down beside Ngannou's fist as it was coming up. You know, just in the wrong position Alistair was, and really took a hard shot. And like you said, Tony, was down for quite a while. And I think it was, we mentioned it on Wednesday's show, and also Joe Rogan mentioned it on his podcast. You know, how many times Overeem has been knocked out over his career. And this is the icing on that cake, man, because this one, I think the ream's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, it was funny. We brought this up. I think I brought it up on Smack My Picks Up when a couple fights ago, right? But he had been knocked out, KO'd in MMA, I think 13 or 14 times. Could be 11 or 12. I could be off. Either way, as someone who has suffered concussions, that's pretty darn brutal. And I'll be honest with you, when that got hit, I think I felt it too, because I may have closed my eyes for a few minutes.
No doubt.
That was pretty brutal.
Scary.
We'll go through the card and then we'll get back, Proteus. So we'll hang on to some of the stuff, like what's next for Aldo, what's next for Ngannou. But but that's certainly a lot more to unravel there. Let's get to the flyweight. We went, we're seeing a Henry Cejudo, Proteus, that I haven't seen. I'll be honest with you. These last couple fights, I don't know if he's drinking a lot of 5-hour energy. I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe the alpha brain is kicking, but he is certainly, it seems like he has some gas or someone lit a fire under his rear end. He's looking great, Proteus. Henry Cejudo defeats Sergio Pettis via unanimous decision.
Yeah, and people were saying, you know, it's not really an impressive performance. I thought it was super impressive. It was a wrestling clinic. As I mentioned on Wednesday's show, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. You've got an Olympic medal winner, you know, level athlete against a young up-and-coming guy. And Sergio Cejudo did what he needed to do to beat Pettis, take Pettis off of his feet and work his wrestling game. You know, after, of course, seeing what the fight that came beforehand, the Alvarez-Gaethje fight, I can understand why people would be, oh, man, this is a little lackluster. But, you know, really impressive wrestling performance by Henry. And, of course, that's what he said the game plan was in the post-fight press conference, you know, wrestle him and show him everybody what his number one talent is, and that's wrestling.
Yeah, and you're right. So many exciting fights and a couple of snoozers, and I mean just one or two. Some trouble by your boy. You know what? I can't even call him Herb Dean any longer. I think from now on I'm going to call him Dean Herb. I like Herb Dean, but boy, I'll tell you, some of his stuff, Proteus, and I've mentioned this a few times, but gosh, and shout out to Bobby Wambacher, right, who was there front and center, definitely early in the card. So shout out to Bobby, who I thought did a great job. So let's get into it right away, Proteus, to the lightweight we went. Justin Gaethje has called this for quite some time. He says, in every fight I go into, either I'm going to KO someone or I'm going to get KO'd. And guess what happened? Great fight. He gets hit literally within a minute left of the fight. And I told you this, I didn't even know who the hell to give it to if that knee wouldn't have happened. But Eddie Alvarez out of nowhere with that knee, Proteus.
Well, listen, as I mentioned on Wednesday, everybody's got to lose. And this was Justin Gaethje's time. I said it when he came into the UFC against Michael Johnson. I was wondering, you know, where his talent level was. And then after the fight, I was very impressed with where he was and what he was able to do walking through shots. But as I mentioned on Wednesday's show, Gaethje got very, very rocked in that last fight against Johnson. And I thought to myself, a fighter at the talent level of Eddie Alvarez, who has been at the top of that 155-pound division for a really long time, since the early 2000s, has the potential to take his game and impose his game, his boxing game, which we've seen a lot with Eddie Alvarez, and kind of take over the fight. Now, Gaethje, really, really impressive with the power shots, especially those leg kicks. I don't know how Eddie Alvarez continued to fight after that first round. Well, I do know because he started throwing to the freaking body. Did you see those body shots, Tony? Holy mackerel.
He was certainly trying to chop them down,
Dude, and he was having success because of where Gaethje, his stance is. He holds, you know, he's got that wrestler, I want to knock your fucking face off stance, and he's got openings, you know, that body is there, and especially because Eddie is a little bit shorter than Gaethje, he had that excellent access to the body, and then, of course, once you open up the body, that opens up the head, and he started to go to the head with the boxing
chingazo.
Game. Indeed, chingazo, my friends. Listen, Eddie's movement in the first round, even though his leg was jacked up, was impressive. He was slipping shots. He's making Justin Gaethje miss and then also making him pay for it, like I said, with the jab and also those body shots. DJ Tony, as you had mentioned, very, very close fight. Would have been hard if it would have gone to the cards. I had it in favor of Eddie Alvarez anyways, just because with the amount of success that Eddie was having. And then up into the third round. I mean, that third round, I don't know. If there would have been another round after that round, I don't think either guys would have been able to make it off the stool. But
Well, and you're right, because Eddie Alvarez – and you're right, Proteus, because Eddie Alvarez called it, right? He said if there would have been a fourth and a fifth, I don't think I could have answered that bell. Mm-hmm. Interesting how Gaethje, in my opinion, didn't kick that leg enough and maybe wasn't paying attention. Maybe he was already concussed. Who knows? But both of these guys took too much punishment, and I think it was Crooklyn that said, hey, thanks for taking 2 to 3 years out of your life and giving us this fight, because that was one hell of a brutal fight, bro.
Well, and like Dana White was saying, and I thought – oh, sorry.
No. Okay. Go ahead. And by the way, I do have to say this. On Alvarez, I wasn't really impressed with any one of their performance.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Because these guys have to start playing some defense. Honestly, Alvarez, and we could talk about this in a little bit, but, I mean, I still don't think he could take on the upper-tier guys, bro.
Now, if we're gonna dip back into this fight, I think I'll just say this for now. Justin Gaethje was exposed for, you know, where he was at. If you're a tough guy and you can endure the onslaught, the early onslaught, or get away from the power shots, which Eddie Alvarez was able to do with some success. Of course, he did get tagged with a bunch of shots, and I think his jaw is broken because that was really nasty when he came out in the third to see all that swelling above his, on his jaw there. Alvarez is always been that guy. He's been the tough underground king, man, and I don't know if he can contend at the top of the division or not, but he's always going to have an exciting fight.
All right, let's go to the women's strawweight. We went, and this actually might have been the bathroom break fight. My wife said actually the Cejudo Pettis fight was a bathroom break fight. I actually like that fight. Tisha Torres defeats Michelle Waterson, and we were talking about Proteus, how some fighters seem to improve, some fighters seem to never really evolve their game. We were talking about specifically about Julia Budd, right? How she may have a similar body to the beautiful Holly Holm, but just hasn't really developed her game throughout the years. She's still basically what she was, a kickboxer. I didn't see a lot of improvement on Michelle Waterson. I saw her really gas out after the first, and I really thought Waterson would destroy Torres on the ground. Definitely not the fight I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, we were talking back and forth over text message during this fight, and listen, I think that Waterson gassed out for a couple of reasons. I think that she's been very, very busy over the past little while. The UFC sees her as someone they can sell. Sorry, Josh from Tilsonburg has just texted me that about the Pettis fight got a really big pop, the biggest pop of the night, apparently, because he was in the building, so he would know. But back to this fight.
Wow.
The Torres-Waterson fight was actually the last fight that I got to see last night live. As you know, DJ Tony, sometimes life gets in the way. But no, I was not bored with this fight. I thought it was two really high-level girls, you know, trying to impose their game. And Tisha brought it to Waterson. You know, she didn't let her come up for too much air. She was always pressing, and one thing that I thought, and I mentioned to you last night over the text messages, I thought Watterson was missing in the uppercut on the entry. I thought that there was an opening there because Tisha is a little bit of a smaller girl and kind of tends to lead with her face a little bit. And the way she was holding her hands up, there was definitely a direct line, straight, short uppercut. And her team kind of knew that was there because Michelle started to throw these strange elbows, these strange real short elbows, which were unfortunately ineffective. I thought that the uppercut was there, Tony, and probably, Watterson could have ended that fight. But, Tisha Torres, impressive performance. I mean, came down to a decision, but I don't think there was any doubt in our mind that Tisha took that fight.
Yeah, I there's no doubt about it. She won that fight on a unanimous decision. But I didn't see the uppercut there.
I read that text message wrong. He said, Josh said that the biggest pop during that Cejudo Pettis fight was when their fight broke out in the crowd. So he was making a joke there. So boom, boom there. Sorry, Tony, to interrupt you.
That's a good one. You know what? Let's give him a little rim shot on that one. Probably the biggest pop to me might have been the bra slipping for Angela Magana. Nothing? All right. I'll give myself one.
All right. Sorry. You were in the middle of...
I didn't see the uppercut being available. I did see a lot of kicks, certainly kicks to the body being available. I certainly saw that she wasn't throwing, the jab enough. This fight became basically a fight of a boxing match more than anything. It wasn't even a kickboxing match. It seemed to be more of a boxing match. And Watterson's game on the ground, Proteus, is pretty darn good. I know that they're both blue belts, but Watterson's game is a lot better. I think she should have taken it down, and it's weird because I don't, you might be right that the UFC just has her doing way too many things, or Wimmy or Endeavor has her doing too many things, because I don't think her game has evolved as well as it should have. And, clock is ticking, yeah. Right? I mean, on her. Yeah. And I'm a big Watterson fan, so hopefully she can get some stuff straightened out. Let's get into it, Pro, because there's a lot more to unravel. But you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm actually going to give you two spotlight fights that you really want to highlight. Sure. I'm throwing it at you, Pro. What were two fights on the undercard that you really thought should have been highlighted?
Well, I think there's no other way to go but the main event and the co-main event from the prelims, especially the co-main event from the prelims. Both fights were
great.
Super exciting. First of all, as you mentioned at the top of the show, bonus winner for Oliveira versus Medeiros. I thought Medeiros, he gutted that one out, man, because he was in there with Oliveira, and Oliveira was, tagging him, good fight back and forth. But Medeiros, had the heart and just kind of turned it up an extra notch there, and ended up finishing the fight. Beautiful way to finish the fight as well. I mean, Charles Cowboy just didn't have anything left, man. Up against that fence, got tagged, and that was all she wrote. Beautiful fight. I'll leave it there on that one for you to comment.
Yeah, broken nose or maybe a broken orbital. We'll talk about these guys literally giving up their bodies for this fight. Boy, I'll tell you, both of them were rocked. Oliveira seemed to make a comeback. Yancy Medeiros, kudos to that guy, because I thought he was done maybe three times, and man, he just gutted it out and just really made it happen. So kudos to that. Bad day for the Oliveira brothers. Let's go into it. You brought this fight up. So Paul Felder, he may not have a spray tan, Proteus, but he does defeat Charles Oliveira.
Boom, boom. Great fight here for Felder. I mean, I didn't see him taking this one down, but kudos to him, man. He outdid Charles Oliveira. And of course, Oliveira was trying all kinds of, weird kind of submissions on the ground, and Felder wasn't having any part of it. Just great resiliency by Oliveira. And of course, The end of the fight was a little bit of controversy. There was definitely a tap there. I remember noting in my mind as I was watching it live, oh, he Oliveira tapped. And then, of course, Felder raining down two more blows upon Oliveira, which is not his fault. That's the ref's fault for not seeing the tap or not being in the correct place or whatever. And that, maybe that's the question that we can ask our boy Bobby Wambacher about in the future, because as you mentioned, he was there officiating the fights. I don't believe it was him that was on this fight. I believe it was Mergliata again coming up, not seeing something. But no, impressive performance by Felder, getting out of, you know, as we know, Charles Oliveira is no real joke on the ground. He's very, very specialized down there, and you know, was not able to get Felder out of there. It was Felder who was able to get Oliveira out. And impressive performance. Good way to go into the main card, let me tell you.
Damn, Felder looked damn good, Proteus, because I never think he's going to do anything, and all of a sudden, what is it? He's won three straight, I think? That's crazy. I want to bring up a couple fights that I thought maybe not as good, certainly not as good as the ones you brought up, the main and the co-main on the FS1 prelims, but a couple fights, David Taymor versus Ricard Close, yeah, and effectively the officiating, because I didn't think, I was with Joe on this one. I know you don't like to listen to the commentary, but David Taymor didn't do anything wrong. He's a counter fighter. I mean, he's a counter puncher, just like I am. I mean, most of the people that are kickboxers or Muay Thai fighters, they're counter fighters. You're counterpunchers, so you wait for the other guy to do something, then you react. This guy wasn't doing anything wrong. Herb Dean said, hey, you got to engage. It's like, how about the guy, Ricard Close, who's not engaging? How about the guy who's just showboating and not doing a goddamn thing? Was I wrong? Did I miss something on that, Proteus?
Well, I think that Herb Dean has a responsibility. Unfortunately, you know, that's another responsibility that we have to lump on these officials to keep the action moving. And as you said, there are two guys in there. You know what I mean? You can throw blame on one guy who is a counterpuncher, but he's not going to risk his life or risk his, you know, as we mentioned, you know, maybe years off his life to fight in a way that he hasn't trained for. And as you said, if Close isn't willing to engage, then we're going to have, you know, a boring fight or a fight that doesn't, you know, nothing much happens. And then the ref has to step in and kind of encourage the fighters to fight. But yeah, no, you can't make if you're a counterfighter, you can't make a counterfighter fight any different way. I mean, that's just silly. It just sometimes all the fights can't be good, can they, Tony? They just all can't be winners.
No, and like Joe Rogan said, I think he was trying to make up for the welterweight fight past prelims where Herb Dean, I think, clearly stopped the fight a little too early, if not way too early. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan defeats Sabah Mahasi via TKO, and I thought literally could have gone on maybe another 10, 20 seconds. I'm one to really stop fights early, right? But I thought this was stopped way too early. Did you get a chance to see that fight at all, bro?
No, I have not had a chance to see this one yet, but I did pick Alassane in my picks, and he came through for me, so I'm not going to hate. You know what I mean? As you mentioned, I am also a guy who likes to err on the side of caution. We were just complaining about guys going in there and you know, maybe sacrificing years of their life, and now all of a sudden somebody stops it a bit early and we cry foul. So I don't know, guys. I mean, one way or another, I mean, we have to take a side, and I would like to err on the side of caution. Yeah.
You're certainly right on that one. You know what? My bad. You're right. I've misbehaved on that one. That was so a couple fights that I want to highlight. Amanda Cooper, of course, defeating Angela Magana. Kudos to Amanda Bobby Cooper.
I was really, really happy for ABC here because she got that. She finally got a finish. You know, the last fight she had was, or last win she had was a decision. And she's showing all of that emotion in there. You know, these fighters, they put their heart and soul into this sport. And we don't realize how much actually goes into it. So it's good to see her get a win. And
let's get into what happens to some of the fighters, because we have a little bit of time. Sure. We'll glance over this quickly, but what's next for Overeem? You brought this up, Proteus, and I certainly agree with you. I don't think he's going to stop fighting, unfortunately. I don't see it, but what say you?
Yeah, unfortunately, Tony, I don't see Overeem stopping fighting under his own, you know, his own decision making. I believe he'll either be forced to stop fighting, either by his team, which he probably won't listen to. I don't think he's done, you know, a bad enough job to no longer have a job in the UFC. I mean, let's be honest. He was on another way, on his way up again to maybe perhaps getting a title fight. I mean, this was a title contender fight. Either one of these guys was going to get the title shot. We all knew, or at least we all thought. And what's next for him? I don't know, man. He's in the heavyweight division. He puts two wins together again. He's back in the talk of title contention again. So, like you said, he's not going to stop. And if the UFC decides they don't want to be in the Alistair Overeem business, he's just going to take his talents to South Beach or wherever, you know, somewhere else. That was a LeBron joke, so no one else got it. Sorry.
I got it.
Okay.
Not one, not two, not three, not 12 knockouts can stop Overeem. By the way, it's 12. I just counted them while you were chatting. 12 KOs out of his 16 losses in MMA.
This isn't including
kickboxing. Yeah. Right. Yeah, this exactly. That's some frightening stuff. Let's talk about what's next for Cejudo. Cejudo, as we just spoke about, defeats Pettis. What do you see next in line for Cejudo? I don't want to seize the title fight just yet, even though I think he's kind of earned it, but I've already seen that fight. What's next for Cejudo?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely 100% correct. I don't know if a wrestling battle is going to get you another shot at the title. Excuse me, I have to cough. Sorry. Against DJ. And I think that his idea in the press conference was probably the best idea I've heard so far. I mean, if TJ Dillashaw is willing to come down to 125 and Demetrius Johnson does not want to fight him, feed him to Henry Cejudo. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That fight right there appeals to me way more than seeing TJ Dillashaw come down and fight Demetrius Johnson at 125. But that, I mean,
really?
I'm a meritocracy kind of guy. I am. I don't think that DJ needs to do that shit, especially if they're not going to pay him. He is not. Okay, I'm going to get on a rant here. Anybody who's listening that doesn't want to hear a rant, tune off now.
Two, three.
These guys are not UFC employees. They don't have to do what the UFC wants them to do. Demetrius Johnson does not have to take a fight against TJ Dillashaw unless they're going to pay him. Dana White coming out and saying, you can't demand money if you're not making money. Go F yourself, clown boy, because I'm tired of this bullshit. You want to make money. You want to make these guys, like we just were saying, take years off their life. Pay them. Nate Diaz.
Well, here's go ahead, bro.
Okay.
Here's the one thing, though. If you and I are the promoters, I'm hijacking this a little bit, but if you and I are the promoters, and you're right, they're not employees, they don't need to fight, right? But they are on a contract, right? And if you've ever done any contract work, there is a sort of a level that an agreement that you have to do, and you don't have to fight, right? You can literally sit out. But to say, hey, listen, when you're clearly not a draw, and let's face it, he's not a draw, Proteus. The numbers tell you, even on freebie TV, they tell you that he's not a draw. To say that he wants $2 million, and you know me, I'm not a Dana White apologist, right? But to say that you want $2 million and you don't want to do anything to promote the fight, that's, I mean, come on. DJ is not a draw, Pro. He's not.
Okay, so how big of a draw is TJ?
I don't know.
A draw?
I really don't. Couldn't answer
so
that.
So what are we doing here? Right? What are we doing here? Just because
what are we talking about?
Something's going to sell. We're talking about practice. Look, well, there's no way of knowing that fight's going to sell. Just because people say they want to watch it, you don't like the lightweight people, the lightweight fighters, right, Tony? You don't like the small guys, as you like to say. How is this? I don't understand. How is this a heavier, smaller guy is going to move down to fight the most dominant guy ever, who, okay, as we can agree, is not a star on paper. I just don't understand. If you don't like small people fighting, why do we want to see two people fighting that are not in the same weight division? I just don't get it. And I think
I'll tell you why,
in this
bro.
World of super fights.
Well, that's what it is. Because in this world of super fights, and you talk about meritocracy, and you're absolutely right. But it's the closest thing that we're going to get to a. Right, but yeah, it's the closest thing we're going to get to a super fight right now, bro. You're absolutely right. Listen, I'm not arguing with you. You're absolutely right. I think these guys, however, can throw some.
He's got some.
Right, because, I mean, if you really want to look at it, and Aaron, I think, wanted to chime in. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you. But if you really want to look at it, I mean, what are the super – let's get into that, bro. What are the super fights right now? Because I really don't want to see GSP – fight anyone but Woodley. Yeah. I mean, do I want to see GSP Connor? You know, interesting on the MMA beat, they said, listen, if you could have any super fight that you would make in any era or whatever, or in recent era, whatever it was, and someone brought up Rousey Cyborg, right? I think it was the man in the shirt brought up Jeff Wagenheim. I think he brought
Jeff
up
Wagenheim.
The fact that, he brought up the fact that Honda Housley, at her peak, before Edmund whispered in her ear, boxer, right?
Dragon
before
King.
That, that was a fight I wanted to see, right? The today, the landscape that is today, and you're right. Listen, everyone wants to see a super fight. So do I, but there aren't any super fights. And I certainly don't want to see GSP fight Connor. But what is there a super fight? That's a good question, bro. Is there a super fight right now that you can make, one or two that you can make?
Yeah, absolutely. Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz. Put that one on the top of your list because that is the big fight. Your boy doesn't want to fight, and the only fight that Nate Diaz is going to take is that Conor fight because they make money. Exactly. You know that they make money. In both of those fights, they made money. Everybody involved made money in that particular fight. Conor needs to go back. The trilogy fight needs to happen. That's the first one super fight that you can make. Two, maybe again, your clown boy's little henchman. You could do the Holloway versus the Irish boy.
Ferguson?
I can't think of his name right now. I was just talking about him. No,
McGregor.
Holloway Connor. Yeah, Holloway Connor would be another super fight that you could do right now because again, they both have belts. I think that Max Holloway could fight at 55. I think him moving up to 55 for that belt makes a lot of sense. Anything that GSP, so that's two, anything that you want to put GSP in right now, you can do. I mean, he's a star. He still sells. He's reignited the Canadian market. And the next, I don't care who you are. You're itching to see a GSP fight again. And we know that the Canadian market sold that Bisping GSP fight really, really well. That's another fight that you can make. I do believe that the GSP Bobby Knuckles fight would sell. I think that that's an interesting fight. I think it's the most interesting fight that we could see at that division because the two guys that have the belts aren't 185ers. Let's be honest, right? So that's a very exciting fight, I think. And that one makes the most sense. The guy who has the belt is going to fight the guy who has the interim belt. And that doesn't even need to be a super fight. So there's three for you, Tony. I'll get off my high horse now. Go.
I like them all except for the last one, bro. I don't want to see GSP fight Bobby Knuckles because I'm a GSP fan. No. I'm just being honest.
I
don't like that fight for him. Is it absolutely ridiculous to have GSP fight Woodley?
I think it is. I think it's stupid. I mean, why would GSP go into a contest that he's going to have to really work for, you know what I mean? Like GSP at this particular time, I know that it makes sense because he was the best and still is the best welterweight of all time. And I'd like to see it. I'm going to be honest with you. I would love to see GSP mop the floor with Tyron Woodley. Nothing more would please me. But I mean, as we know, Tyron's going to be out now because he didn't want to, he's not going to get the fight against the lightweight fighter that he wanted. And he's going to go and opt for shoulder surgery. And even though there's a guy who wants to fight him. Colby Covington's screaming it from the rooftops.
I don't want to see that fight, bro. I don't want to see. I think Colby Covington has done a little too much for my liking. I'm all for promoting because of what I don't like, Proteus, is people saying the UFC needs to back this person. No, back yourself, right? So
right.
I'm all for promoting, self-promoting, as long as it's genuine. But I don't think the Colby Covington stuff is genuine, Proteus. I don't know why. It just rubs me the wrong way. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Well, let's go back to the days when the the bad guy, was saying all kinds of stuff against Brazilian people. I mean, I don't think that anybody has said anything about a particular Brazilian fighter feeding carrots to buses because they think they're horses. If you're all not following me, when Chael Sonnen was fighting Anderson Silva, and the way that he got that fight was very reminiscent to what Colby Covington is doing now. Colby Covington is not nearly as good at it as Chael Sonnen is, but he's doing the same thing. And I don't understand why Tyron Woodley would not want to take that fight and just smash him. If you can beat him, smash him. Maybe some people will start liking you, Tyron, because you did something that people wanted to see. I think Tyron Woodley is probably the my least favorite welterweight champion of all time. This guy's got to go.
He at least has been active, right, Rhonda?
I don't care.
Though he really has. I mean, I don't like his fighting style, but at least he's been active. Listen, and I've said this before, time and time again. You know, I am a McGregor fan. You know
that,
right?
Have I been wrong yet?
But he has not defended the belt, Proteus. He hasn't defended the belt. It's hard for me that someone that's had that kind of behavior that hasn't defended a belt, for me to get on his bandwagon when Tyron Woodley, and I'm not a Woodley fan, neither is Marco, neither are you, right? But Tyron Woodley has at least defended the belt against great competition, bro.
Yes, of course. He's the champ. He's going to defend the belt against two of the same people in his last three. I mean, let's be honest. He fought Stephen Wonderboy Thompson twice to a boring a majority decision both times.
Fought
Damian Maia in another five-round decision, which we are blaming that on an injury, which is totally fine. He has an injury, but again, like I stated, was willing to fight a 155er to make some money on 219. So you know what I mean, Tony? It's not a good look for Tyron, and it has nothing to do with the color of his skin. Okay, let's all get past that.
I agree.
I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. Okay, just does.
I like him, but yeah, you're right. Oh boy, we're not going to win in any one of these because you're right. I will say this to Amanda Bobby Cooper, and I'm looking at the photos that you sent.
How you doing?
That's right, Amanda Bobby Cooper. Good Lord. All right, Proteus, let's get the heck out of here. But before we go, let's look ahead a little. I'm going to cue the music. 6 months from now, we're looking at the flyweight belt right now. Nico Montano just got the inaugural belt. We clearly know that most of the ladies that are in this division are not going to be top 10 contenders. I'm pretty sure that's a fair statement. I could be wrong. But 125 belt, 6 months from now, Proteus, who's a champ?
Yeah, sorry about that, CJ Tony. As you mentioned, I did not watch any of this Ultimate Fighter. I also did not watch the Ultimate Fighter finale. Very, very impressive performance by the champion, Nico. I just don't think she's going to hang on to it. Like you guys have been saying on the show, she's a placeholder right now. Joanna's going to move up. She's going to probably get that title, or Shevchenko. One of the two, I think, are going to move up and get that belt and hold on to it for a while.
I agree with you, Proteus, and the sad part is I don't think any of these people that were in the top 26 finale, I don't think any of these women will be in the top. I'm saying it right now. They won't be in the top 10. They may not even be in the top 15 a year from now because there's too many people that will drop down. A prime example, Alexis Davis and Liz Carmouche. They're dropping down to 125. Yeah. Jessica I's dropping down to 125. I mean, what about Carolina Kovalkiewicz going up, like Marco mentioned? Darn, this is going to be a damn good division. I'll tell you, I don't know what it's going to do to the bantamweight division, though, Pro.
Yeah, both divisions, as we've noted in the past, are going to be emptied out. I just wanted to say a shout-out to Roxanne Modafferi because, you know what, man? She's tried a number of times to be the girl off the Ultimate Fighter and failed, and she still keeps that freaking smile on her face. So, Tony, shout out to Roxanne Modafferi.
An all heart, right? A good quality person by all accounts. How can you not say one thing bad about her? Let's get out of here, Pro. Our second outro, Proteus. We'll see you all, of course, on Wednesday.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Fuck your bitch-ass belt, too.
Keep an eye out for the MMA Minute.